T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney doing it?
Doing it and doing it and doing it well.
That was a great tune.
Great one. LL Cool J. We're inside of our Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience here on this Thursday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Tiki. What's happening there, buddy? How
all's
are
good,
you?
Man. We okay? have Martin Truex Jr. coming on in our second hour.
Martin Truex, Jr.
Tossing NASCAR.
Well, NASCAR.
We do it like once a year.
It's a huge name.
Of course it is.
I understand.
We do it like once a year. We talk
Martin
NASCAR.
Truex. But yeah. You thought I was going to be out today. That's what Santa said. I mean, like, hey, BT's out. And I was supposed to be in full defense. But listen, he's a legend in the sport. I'm a borderline.
He's young. He's getting there. He's definitely talented. It'll be interesting to talk to him in our next hour. Barry Trammell also will join us from the Thunder.
Yeah.
We'll see where Russell Westbrook is going, BT. But I got to start because I was thinking about this. Because it's a dead day today in basketball, baseball. I mean, nothing's happening
dead,
right
pretty
now.
Pretty quiet.
Training
nothing
camp
jumping
is,
out.
What, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away?
Yeah.
I guess if you have a new coach, training camp's not that far away. But if you're... It's August. We still got 3 more weeks. But Melvin Gordon came out and I guess through his agent said that he wants to be traded. He wants a new deal. Otherwise, trade him.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, he did.
And the reason I'm bringing this up because this reminds me of he's now your guy. He used to be a Steelers guy, but he's now your guy, Le'Veon Bell. And it just brings me back to this disrespect that comes at the running back position. And you know what? The problem is, I can't think of a solution. And let's lay it out for you. So Melvin Gordon has had a fantastic couple of years scoring touchdowns. It's ridiculous. I mean, 28 touchdowns he's had over the last couple of years. And if you look at the, they're not like game-changing, I'm going 50 yards and busting one out. It's usually at the goal line. Phillip Rivers leads him down the field. He gets to the goal line. He scores. If you have Melvin Gordon on your fantasy team, you are loving it because he's getting in the end zone literally almost every week, right? He's a stud like that. But we know that the position is being devalued. If you go look, and I did this yesterday, look at Spotrac and look at the cash that running backs are making, there's the outlier, who's Le'Veon Bell, and then everybody else is like 6, and he's making 14, by the way, this year. And everybody else is like 6, 6, 6. Then there's 5. Then there's 4.
Saquon's going to be up there soon.
Maybe not. Here's why this is happening. When you put on 360 touches a season, which is what some of these upper end running backs are doing, Ezekiel Elliott, who leads the league in rushing almost every year, he's getting 380 or so touches. Christian McCaffrey, now he does it on the other side because has 107 receptions he had last year. Saquon Barkley, all these guys, they're getting touches, but they're getting used. They're getting used up.
Yeah.
And the reason that we started to see running backs get drafted in the first round, it's the same reason that you see quarterbacks getting drafted in the first round. Not because you want to sign them to hold on to them for 5 years with a fifth-year option and then sign them to a long-term deal. You want to hang on to them for 5 years and use them up in 5 seasons.
Well, that's not the same for the quarterbacks.
It is.
No way.
It's a different end reasoning. So for a quarterback, you get him with your first year, second year, third
like
year.
Like the Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
Fourth year.
Yep,
you make your decision and you say, you know what? He's going to be our future. We're going to fifth-year option him. And so now we have him on a kind of a franchise tag, and then we can sign him to a long-term deal, right? This is what you do with quarterbacks, right? Right?
Well,
you hold on to him for 5 years.
I don't see.
You get to your decision. Blake Bortles is the prime example.
And Blake Bortles stinks.
I agreed, but they picked up his fifth-year option, BT.
Well, because they had a good defense and they had no options.
Exactly. And so they had a decision to make. Is he going to be our guy?
But you think they drafted him with those? And that's what I'm challenging. They didn't draft him third overall with the intentions of saying.
Yes, they did. Here's what they did.
Go ahead.
You draft the guy third overall and you say, If he turns out to be the guy, we have 5 years to figure out a long-term deal with him.
Okay.
5 years.
All right.
Right? This is what you see with quarterbacks, right? And
yeah.
You draft in the first round, you get to your fourth year.
They all get paid.
And they all get
from
paid.
Stafford to Matty Ice,
right?
Everybody.
Whether they go through their fifth year in that fifth-year option or not, they get to that fifth year and they get paid,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You're starting to see the same thing happening with running backs, but it's not for them to get paid. It's for them to get used up, right? And so you use them for
okay,
your,
that's what I challenged.
Yeah.
The using up portion.
Of,
like if I'm drafting a
running
quarterback,
backs.
That's where I okay, gotcha. Keep going. Keep going.
You draft a quarterback in the first round.
And I hope he's my guy for 12 to 15 years.
Exactly.
You don't think that about running backs, though. That's
no,
the difference.
You draft the running back in the first round because if he's really good,
yep.
You use him up in 5 years.
The fifth year.
You use
and
him up.
You, and then you dispose of him?
And then you dispose of him. Or you don't pay him his deal, like
yeah.
Le'Veon Bell
yeah.
got. Like
yeah.
We're getting ready to see with Melvin
but
Gordon.
But Le'Veon was a second round pick. A little different.
I agreed, but still, it doesn't
okay.
matter.
Okay, good.
The
still
principle
same
is the
philosophy.
Same. Here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell's the reason why we started to see running backs get drafted in the first round. Because it's like, if we're going to get a guy who's going to be that good.
Oh, he looks good and green.
He really
he?
Does look good
he looks
and green.
Those,
but
like
guess
the
what? You know what? Not to bust your bubble about him. They can move on from him in 2 years.
No, I know.
In
that's
two
fine.
Years, they could be
I just need
out.
A safety valve for my young quarterback
right.
while my young
right.
quarterback
so,
learns the NFL.
So,
that's all.
So Le'Veon Bell comes into the league.
The
he
way.
Takes it by storm.
Uh-huh.
He's dominant.
Yep.
Right? As a runner, rush for 1,400 yards every single season. Even when he misses games, he catches 87 passes.
Yep.
Right? He's a difference maker. All of a sudden, you start to see running backs get drafted in the first round. You see Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
You see
Todd
Christian
Gurley.
McCaffrey. You see Todd Gurley.
Yep.
You see Melvin.
Saquon.
You see Melvin Gordon. You
uh-huh.
see Saquon Barkley. Why are they doing that? Right? It's not because they want to sign the guy after 5 years. You know, and we have his rights for 5 years, and we're going to sign him to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so we can keep this guy for 5 years, put him on his fifth-year option, which is a big number,
sure.
usually, even though it's going to come down because those numbers aren't as high any longer for running backs. Keep him for his 5 years, and then let him figure it out. If he wants to be a pain in the butt like Le'Veon Bell is, then you know what? We'll make him sit out on his franchise tag, and he's going to go someplace
okay,
else.
Okay, so that's what they're doing with Gordon.
The same
so
thing is happening with
Chargers,
Jordan.
What do you do with Gordon?
You don't,
I've got my answer, by the
they're
way.
Not signing
them. First.
They're not signing him.
Exactly.
There's no way they are.
I totally agree.
Right? And so the running back has gotten squeezed, and I think about this.
Oh,
this,
you
like,
hate this.
I hate it
you
because,
hate
because
this.
I come from an era where the running back was like integral to find a guy mm-hmm. who you could depend upon. Right. Yeah, I know that, you know, there might be a game where he's going to give me, you know, 55 yards and be ineffective. But for the most part, if my guy is my guy,
yep.
he's giving me 110. He's going to sneak in a touchdown every now and then.
Yeah.
If you're really lucky and you've gone nouveau, you got the guy that's going to catch 6 or 7 passes out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, all these guys. Reggie Bush, even to an extent, for when he was with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, Brian Westbrook. Yeah,
make sure you put yourself in front of Reggie Bush.
Well, you know what I mean.
Please,
you know what I mean. But I'm just saying. But the Giants, I was their guy for. You know, 6 years,
uh-huh.
7 years.
But their mindset wasn't to get rid of you. Which
I know,
is why I don't
because,
understand
because
what you're
it's
saying.
Changed. It's
okay.
It's changed.
But I don't think that.
Because the money has changed, or
yeah.
at least the top end ask has changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
BT, on average, other than Le'Veon Bell, now I've been retired for a decade and 2 years, 12 years
Jeez.
I've been retired, BT.
Get old, brother.
No joke.
Nah.
Right? Other than Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Again, I've been retired for 12 years.
Yep.
Other than Le'Veon Bell, these guys are making about what I was making. Now think about
what did David Johnson sign for?
It doesn't matter. His yearly cash is $5 million.
Is that what it
That's
is?
What I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
Right? That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the number that you put on paper
that's
hidden in the back end and they're not going to ever see it. I'm talking about the number that you see yearly.
Yeah.
It's about what I was making.
Yeah, you were right around four, right?
I was four and a half at the end of, you know, like 5.5.
Okay.
Most of these guys are making $6 to $4.5 million
but is
at
that
the top
because
end.
Now the quarterbacks are making more and you still have a salary cap?
Exactly.
I mean, is that what it's called?
That's what it
to?
Is. That's what it is.
But it's not going to change.
Of course it's not going to change. But it used to be palatable for the running back. But the running back is starting to see his value to the team increase. But the value in his pocket is not going anywhere.
Okay.
It's sitting stagnant.
Yeah.
Unless you do what Le'Veon Bell did, which is sacrifice a year in your prime, you know, play hardball, fight the fight. Now, he really fought the fight for himself and for his position. But it's not going to make a difference.
But it made a difference for him.
Made a difference for him,
so
but not for the position.
So you don't think it's like, you know, when Kurt Flood really carried the cross of free agency in baseball.
Yes.
It opened up the doors to free agency.
Exactly
and
right.
His peers really
exactly
me, benefited.
Right.
You don't think that residually this happens for the running backs.
No.
So, okay. So
you know why?
Say,
because you get a guy like Eckler who's on the Chargers.
Yeah.
And when Melvin Gordon was banged up, you know what? He averaged 5.1 yards per carry.
Well, look at the Chiefs. Damian Williams was okay.
Damian Williams.
I mean, he stepped in on the Thursday
night
game.
You get rid of Kareem Hunt. What are we going to do without Kareem Hunt? Oh, my
our
God.
Our backup's good.
All right. He's maybe marginally a tick not as good.
Yeah. But in the function of the offense, you don't even notice it.
You don't miss it.
Because you have the weaponry around it.
You don't miss it.
Well, then the tough one is going to be Saquon.
Saquon's going to be tough.
The most talented running back I've ever seen.
And he's a beast. He may be the one.
Well, he's definitely going to be the one. He's got to be.
I hope so.
Well,
I hope so.
Let me put it this way.
But here's what also might happen.
Yep.
And we saw this with Todd Gurley with the Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They might buy out those 2 years. So after his third season, if he rushes for 1,300 yards and has 75 receptions like he did in his rookie season and won Rookie of the Year, he won't get to his fourth year and then his fifth year option.
No.
They'll buy it out after his third season
and sign him
to an extension, and you basically buy out those 2 years.
And the running back's almost forced
and
to
so
take
instead
it based
of being
on
a,
the market.
Exactly. Instead of being a five-year deal with the fifth-year option, it becomes like a seven-year deal, right? You can extend it early, but you're never going to hit free agency. You're never going to hit that moment like with quarterbacks. You're like, dude, we got to pay this guy.
Yeah.
It's running backs are stuck, man.
Well,
and it's a challenge because I feel like you love your running back. If you have a good one, you love the hell out of them.
That's right. You trust them, reliable.
But if it's going to cost you on the salary cap, are you willing to bring in somebody else? Are you willing to bring in the Damian Williams of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to bring in the Tariq Cohen's of the world?
Well, that's why you draft somebody every year or every other year in round four or round five.
That's exactly what they do.
See if he pops in practice and you start to internalize it. You have your decision ready before you need to really make it.
Look, I feel for Melvin Gordon.
I really do.
I do. I feel for him because
I don't think he's as good as people think he is.
Well, I think he's
first
good.
First of all, he's never healthy.
He fits what that team is doing, and he scores a ton of points, BT.
I understand
the touchdowns.
That.
I agree with you.
I know.
But I feel for him. But in any other position that puts up the numbers that he puts up, right? And if he's a wide receiver or a tight end, he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
Because of the position he plays, he's not going to get paid.
But people need to realize that, you know, I went back and did a little different type of research. And listen, we all know that in his 4 years with the Chargers, he's had no full seasons.
Nope.
You know, a lot of times he starts 13, or you know, he plays 14. He might not start, but he always misses a couple of games. It happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
His first year he had no touchdowns. We're like, what's going on here?
Right.
And he's corrected that. To your point, he's become pretty much a touchdown machine with 10 every year.
And he turned the ball. He had like six fumbles in his.
Did he have that many his rookie year?
I think he was. And he didn't even play the full season.
Yeah,
right.
He missed. He only started. He played in 14 and he started 13. So he basically he missed three games.
Yeah, I think he had a bunch of fumbles. But since that point, he's had four in the last 3 years.
And he's had at least 28 touchdowns on the ground. It's been 10, 10, and 8, I believe. And then he's had a bunch receiving as well. But you've got to look into this. And this is what kills the running back, Teague. And there's no way around it. You have to factor in what he did at Wisconsin, which is exactly what I did. And you go back his last year, who led the nation in carries? He did.
A lot of toes.
He had three, not even touches, but he didn't actually receive the ball too much. But he's proven to be very adept at this level.
Do you need to throw the ball to him? You can just hand it off. And he's
not when
you
run it 343 times, which they did. Now you're like, well, 343, how does that stack up in recent years in terms of high usage rates? I'll tell you, in 2018, the most carries by an NCAA rusher was 307.
Yeah.
In 2017, it was 301. So in the last 2 years, you know, I mean, that's 40 more carries.
You're right.
So there's been kind of a resetting of how they use players. And by the way,
and not only that, just to put it on a professional level, Ezekiel Elliott, who led the league in rushing last year, had 340 carries.
They pounded him as well.
But this was in the NFL.
No,
you're,
I know.
You're talking about in college.
But the Buckeyes pounded him, too.
Yeah, true.
You know, maybe not quite like the Badgers pounded Melvin Gordon. Here's the problem. Listen, here's the answer. You know, you talk about somebody like Le'Veon Bell making a stand and hopefully making a statement for others. Certainly for himself, he did. I think what these running backs are going to have to do, and you start to see it in bowl games, they're going to have to start saying, I'm not carrying the ball that much in college.
Yeah.
But think about that. Who's going to actually be brazen enough to say that? Unless you are somebody like Saquon, who is just so unquestionably talented,
you gotta
earn your worth. You're not gonna say that to your college coach.
Unless you're Saquon, unless you're Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And that's maybe.
And he led the nation in carries back in 04 when I looked that up.
Yeah.
And look at now. He's been banged up the last couple years.
Other than those guys?
Not many.
Not many.
You just don't have the freedom, the latitude, the confidence,
The juice.
You're still trying to, the juice is the best word. You're still trying to carve out your own collegiate career.
Yep.
And then guess what? There's a 4-star or 5-star guy behind you.
Yeah.
If you're at Alabama, if you're at Michigan, if you're at Wisconsin, if you're at USC, if you're at all these big time factories, Oregon's on the, you know, so all these places that just pump out pros. I don't know what the answer is,
there
but
isn't
I, know,
one.
I know my answer is, I'm sorry, I really like Melvin Gordon. If I get him on my fantasy team this year, I'll probably be happy. If I'm the Chargers, I'm not paying him.
No.
And the way I'm
no,
paying
they're
him.
Laughing at him, just,
no
like the, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers laughed at Le'Veon Bell. Go sit at yeah, home for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need you.
Great stand, but we'll see you, buddy.
Exactly.
I hear you. It's a tough spot. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney shows. Tiki and Tierney show. So, the evolution and then the, I guess, the lack of appreciation for the running back, it's kind of going back, trending in the right direction, just not monetarily,
just not can't get
commensurate
paid
with what the production should yield in terms of the contract.
Right.
It's just not there. So I don't really even know how to frame it to our audience because I don't think there's an interesting enough question that would inspire anybody to react to it because it is what it is.
Because you'll take the guy that comes in behind
yeah.
the guy and does just as well, maybe a little bit less, but not demonstratively less.
Correct.
And you don't have to pay him as much, and it helps you in the long run.
Hey, I can't skimp on a defensive end. I can't skimp on a corner. I can't skimp on my quarter. I can't skimp on a left tackle. I can skimp at running back.
Right.
And I don't know what the way, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe somebody's got one. 1-855-212-4227. We'll roll with this a little bit. Obviously, baseball is starting to, how unfair is it? Why is there one baseball game tonight? Like, why do two teams have to cut short their all-star break and everyone plays tomorrow?
I thought the same
make
thing.
Make any sense? One game
so not fair,
I know it's
man.
Uneven and blah, blah,
yeah,
whatever.
But still.
But that's stupid. It's unfair.
I agree.
How do you get the short straw there? Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. In this hour as well, Martin Truex, NASCAR, and we've got Barry Trammell. Where does Russell Westbrook go? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Big day at the Tierney household today. A little early, I was showing Teak during the break. Big day for the Tierney clan, especially Daddy. Little guy went yard in the backyard for the first time.
It's all monumental.
Oh, man, it was awesome. And I was trying to get him to hit it over the first our fence.
Yeah.
The first one that he hit went over our fence and another fence. As I showed Tiki the video, the second fence is on this, he's four.
Yeah.
This pretty steep incline, like up slope. So, and it was climbing. He hit it. I said to myself, holy bleep, that just the velocity, it went as it's, I'm like, attaboy.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
Getting it early.
Oh, man. So, just in time to take him to his first Yankee game Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
We're going
to
do it.
Hopefully not today because it started to pour.
No, not today. Obviously, I'm at work today, Tiki.
Yeah, I know.
They're not playing today.
It could be a night game.
Well, they're not playing today.
I know, but just, you
know. True. They could be, I guess, a bunch of hypotheticals, sure. And I made the decision. I want to get back to the running backs in a second. But I made the decision because I wrestled with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know your opinion on this, Tiki. I wrestled with when to take him to his first game.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
Because my first game, I remember going. Like, I remember specific situations. I remember what candy we snuck into Yankee Stadium. I remember that well.
How old were you?
I was just about ready to turn six. And Yankees played the Rangers. My mom wasn't there. My sister was there. My mom, my dad, and myself, and my sister. And, you know, and Jen, I remember Jen saying, he's a little bit too young. But in my opinion, it's probably like 2 months ago. And I'm saying, you know, he's playing T-ball. Mm-hmm. He obviously likes baseball.
Yeah, so he knows baseball.
Yeah. I think if I, even though he's going to be all over the place, we're not going to stay for nine innings. I get that. But I think if I bring him now at the age of four, I just continue to wet the whistle of enthusiasm for the sport.
He'll want to go back.
As
long as, as long as it's not a ridiculously hot day.
It's going to be 92.
And uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's going to be. And if he gets tired and hot, you leave.
We leave.
You leave.
No, no.
And he still enjoys it. As long, as long as he enjoys it from start to finish. You can't be too young.
That's
unless he doesn't like the sport.
No, the last thing is to drag a kid to anything they don't want to do.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if daddy's like, no, we're staying for nine innings like an idiot. There's no way I would do that. And then the other thing I could do, and this is part of my mindset, I'm like, well, this now enables me to, and I do it anyway, but now we can tangibly understand when we watch the Yankees on TV, mm-hmm. he'll actually understand and remember components of the ballpark. So yep. I can't wait. So I know I bled on with that. But it was a big day at the house, man. When that ball went over the fence, I was euphoric. It was incredible. All right, I've got three guys, and I don't think that there's a fourth. If there is, you tell me. Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
In my opinion, there is not a single other running back in football that you can take away from their current situations and not see a noticeable slash dramatic decrease in production.
Yeah.
Like everything else is somewhat negligible.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said David Johnson like a year and a half ago. But it's almost like it's not his fault. It just is what it is. He got hurt and missed the whole season because of a wrist? It was a hand injury.
It was definitely a hand injury, yeah.
He had a upper body injury. And then when he came back, it was you know what show out there.
Wasn't he like 1.9 yards a carry?
It wasn't even his fault.
I understand that.
They had a remade offensive line. Yeah, they had who was playing quarterback. Started up, Sam Bradford. Then, Josh Rosen gets thrown. And he had no chance.
No.
So a year and a half ago, I would have put David Johnson in that.
And I would have agreed with that.
But now I think you're right. And that's the issue with the position is that it doesn't feel like there's a plethora of stars because there's just so many guys that you just throw in. Like I love Sony Michel's game with the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. I love his game.
Mm-hmm.
But is he you putting him on a team and handing him the rock 315 times, he's gonna rush for 1,400? No.
Nah.
He's not. Nah. And so everybody's become a bit player. At the position, except for the handful of stars, and if you can get a bit player to replace the star and not have to pay the star, and it's just marginally a little bit worse, collectively, and you do it by committee, it's just hard for these guys to get paid. It's frustrating for them. I know it is. And again, I hope that Saquon breaks the mold. I really do. Maybe Zeke breaks the mold down in Dallas because he's led the league twice in rushing already. I think 1,400. His first year and then 1,600 last year. I mean, he's a stud, Zeke Elliott. But there's also issues that come with him that we've documented many times, and we don't know if the Cowboys are going to do the right thing. I put in quotes, do the right thing by Zeke because they're worried about it.
I think Jerry will. I think so too. I don't think Jerry cares about that stuff.
I don't think he does either. But they've already said they're not extending him this year. We'll see what happens next year because they got to worry about.
Everybody. And Amari. They gave up so much for Amari, they need to justify with an extension, and they will.
And it's worth it.
It seems like Amari's actually realistic in what he wants,
which is
pleasantly surprising and refreshing to hear somebody say, basically he didn't exactly say it like this, but the message was, I understand there's a pecking order here, and I understand where I am, and I'm fine with that.
The only way I think that running backs get paid, by the definition of paid, is if they do short deals with fully guaranteed money. That's the only way it's going to happen. You're not going to get a 6-year deal. You're not going to get an 8-year deal. You're going to have to do like a 3-year deal and max out your money as quickly as possible and hope that you're healthy at the end of it to do it again. That's the only way it's going to work.
You know, you always tell me, and I certainly believe it because you've said it long enough and you would certainly know, that, a running back, new system, you miss training camp, whatever. You show up, you do what you got to do.
It's true.
Okay. So if I'm a running back and I'm not dependent upon a system, I don't necessarily need to be there for OTAs. And
this is why I didn't worry about Le'Veon Bell missing the install.
True, what you're talking about with the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, you should be there to
symbolically
meet the guy.
It bothered me, but I agree.
He should have went.
Well, yeah.
Like, and been there and said, hey, here I'm not doing anything, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just for team building
and all that
stuff.
Sure. Aesthetics.
Yeah, true. He was out for a while. But I'll tell you what, if all that's true and all the hurdles that running backs face in terms of getting contracts, I'll tell you what, I might start pulling like an NBA move, only even twist that. Forget about 2+1. I'm signing a 1-year deal. Mm. So if I am Ezekiel Elliott and I'm going to say, you know what, Dallas is different because you're associated with the Dallas brand. So that's probably not the best example. But let me say Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon was fourth in the NFL in rushing last year, quietly.
Yeah, quietly.
And he's good.
You're right.
He's good. And he only had like 235 carries, and he was still like fourth in rushing. So his production's big time. But if I'm Joe Mixon, of all the teams, the Bengals certainly aren't going to pay him. No. So when I say, all right, you know what, my contract's up, I will sign 1 year with the Bengals for I don't know. Give me a healthy number. $13 million.
Yep.
That's it. $13 million. And then I'll say peace out, or I'll give you the chance after that to extend me for one more year. And then if that doesn't work out after the 1 year, maybe the Rams have an opening. Maybe Todd Gurley retires. Maybe the Rams are going to pay me $14 million. I'll hop around for 7 years, and I'll just keep maximizing. I'll go 14 and 14 and 14. And you do that enough, you got 14, 28, 35, 42, you start making some money.
Until you get hurt, and then you're making nothing. And that's
it's
the
risk.
It's
a risk. It's definitely a risk.
In a position that has a lot of guys get hurt.
It's a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a risk.
But I don't know the other solution. I really don't.
That's why I think it takes something cavalier, something that might seem almost irresponsible at first glance, to maybe give these players during that really that the three-year window from the time their rookie contract expires, really, or just as it's getting ready to expire.
So 4 or 5 years.
While they're still in their absolute physical prime, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, to get paid. I
mean, yeah, if you keep waiting with your hand out,
you're going to be overlooked. And that's what Le'Veon did.
That's what Le'Veon
did. He just had to miss a year to do it.
And I'm happy because now he comes to my team fresh and regenerated, hopefully.
You hope.
It could be a little rusty, too. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Coming up, Axe update. Axe was at the ballpark last night. A little minor league game,
Axe. Yeah, always good. All right. Hot dogs, baseball, beautiful night. Can't beat it.
A little Coney Island for you?
Absolutely. Didn't go on the Cyclone, though. Those days are over.
Didn't they refurbish it? It's not still made out of wood, is it?
I believe so.
Didn't they refurbish it?
They may have, renovated it, but
I was just out there. I think it is still wood because I ran the Brooklyn half. It finishes out there. I think it is still wood, dude.
Not a big fan of wood.
No.
Wood roller coasters at this point.
You go on the Cyclone after the marathon?
No.
13 miles?
No, just walked past the Cyclone.
The Thunderbolt, maybe?
On my way to the subway.
Man of the people, that Tiki Barber.
I am.
He runs it, he gets on the subway.
Of course. How else am I getting back? You can't park over there.
I would have picked you up.
You don't have a car.
Yeah, but I rent one. You know, easy. I know Brooklyn.
He does. He's from Brooklyn. You better. All right, Axe update.
Next time.
Axe update is right now. Got inbounds, out of bounds after that. Martin Truex in hour number two. We'll talk to Thunder. Hour three, Barry Trammell, the reporter that Westbrook has the long-standing, long-running beef with. We'll find out where Russ is going to go, if he goes, after Ack. Right now, here's Rich. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on this Thursday around the country here. 1-855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Diesel, what's your Twitter handle? I know Mike, at Big Mike. What is yours again?
At D-Cell CBS.
At D-Cell CBS. And Mike, at Big Mike CBS or just at Big Mike?
Oh, CBS, baby.
You gotta represent those company letters, I hear you. Tiki and I don't do that, though.
No. I think my Twitter account originated before.
Yeah, of course. But you can change that, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's just harder when it's verified.
No, I hear you.
They make you go through
jump through hoops. Fire.
It's even down right now, so why are we talking about it?
Yeah, Twitter is down. You ready for some inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's get it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go, Tiki. Of course, it's brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit Fidelity.com/value to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. All right, here we go, buddy. First question. Let's get to it. Hoops. So after the Thunder dealt Paul George, the team started looking for trading partners for Russell Westbrook, with the Pistons and the Heat emerging, two teams you and I have referenced a lot as the front runners. While the former MVP has mutual interest in going to Miami, trade talks have stalled a bit because the Heat don't want to part with a couple of young players. Tyler Hero was just drafted, who, by the way, I really like.
Yeah,
I like this kid. So the Heat are out here. The Heat should be willing to give up Adebayo, I didn't mention him before, and Hero. To team Westbrook up with Jimmy Butler, in or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds to this. I know, here's the thing with Russell Westbrook. He actually makes stars better, right? Kevin Durant won an MVP with him.
Better.
Right? Steven Adams made $100 million because playing in the pick and roll with him. Just to hear me out.
I'm not saying anything.
Paul George was an MVP candidate this year playing with Russell Westbrook.
He's pretty good in Indianapolis as well. Now I have to drop that in.
But
can't
still,
be quiet on that.
Yeah, but I think that's because all of those guys have tame-ish personalities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler doesn't have a tame personality.
No.
So I just don't see it working out as well for Jimmy Butler with Russell Westbrook as some of these other guys that worked out pretty well in their case. And look, I like Tyler Hero as well. You know, in college, high school, he averaged like 35 points or something like that. And he played 1 year in college and, you know, he scored a couple games over 29, something like that. So he's a good player.
Yep.
And if you have a chance to build from that around Jimmy Butler, I think it's a better option than bringing in Russell Westbrook and the ball handling, ball dominant nature of the way he plays the game.
Tyler Hero is, I mean, listen, you know, you don't go Kentucky as the white kid.
Exactly.
And by averaging 9 points a game at high school.
I agree.
You are destroying people.
You're right.
And
but
this game
did.
Translates nicely.
But you did.
Yeah, I was watching some highlights the other night. He's just polished, pulling up, banging in people's mugs. He's going to be good. And he's got a lot of confidence, too. The interesting part of this is Bam. You know, I like him, too. His numbers are, I think he played 80 games. I think he was very durable last year. And, you know, for a big man, he shoots pretty well. His free throws are mid-70s to high 70s. He's showing some growth there. He's not a, you know, so he's not like an Andre Drummond who's, you know, just a horrendous free throw shooter. He got a little bit of a different skill set than Drummond as well.
And
I like both of these
kids.
And
Whiteside's gone, too.
And Whiteside's gone, true. So an expanded role. Yeah, good point, Teague. I like him. The problem is, you know, Butler's not 24. So by the time Hero and Adebayo grow into what we think they could grow into, does it match where Butler is in his prime? Maybe not.
Or does he accelerate him?
Or that's true. Or does he accelerate him? Now, he didn't accelerate the kids in Minnesota. He kind of stifled them.
Philly. What about Philly?
Yeah, well.
Philly's hard to determine.
It is hard to determine. Because those kids, I mean, it doesn't matter who Embiid plays with. He's going to get his numbers because he's just incredibly gifted. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I do believe that they should still find a way to acquire Westbrook, but I'm not giving up both of those kids. I'm not doing it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, how about this? Despite a solid college career and an impressive performance in this year's NCAA tournament, former UCF star Taco Fall.
Taco.
Went undrafted, all right, before signing with the Celtics. Now, during the summer league in Vegas, however, the 7'6" center has impressed. He's averaged 7 points, a couple of the rebounds, just 13 minutes a night. So he's making an impact when he's on the court. He's shooting 80% from the field. Everything's basically a layup or a dunk. Taco Fall can be a solid contributor throughout the season and into the playoffs for the Celtics.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT. I've watched a couple of these summer league games with the Boston Celtics. Not only is Taco Fall like unguardable from some of these below average height centers, they literally just throw it down to him, basically at the rim. He catches it at the rim, keeps the ball high, lands, bounces, and dunks, and they can do absolutely nothing about it. But his feet are increasingly looking better, right? He moves with some of these smaller forwards and centers that he's matched up against defensively. And I think, look, he's not going to be, you know, a 30-minute-a-night guy immediately in the NBA, but I do think he can be of value. Another guy also on the Celtics team who's been dominant in the summer league has been Carson Edwards, kid from Purdue.
Oh, he was tremendous in the tournament.
He did tremendous in the tournament. In the summer league, he's the same. I mean, I watch his game. He's 5 of 7 from 3-point range.
Some guys know how to score.
He gets to the rim. Mm-hmm. He's tiny. He's under like maybe 6 feet. Gets to the rim. He scores. I mean, that kid's going to find some minutes, Carson Edwards. We're talking about Taco Fall.
Yeah.
But Carson Edwards is going to find some minutes for the Celtics squad.
Yeah. I thought he might squeeze in the back end of the first. He did not. I think he went 33rd overall to the Celtics, 32 or 33. Okay, so Taco Fall here. Let me point out the really good stuff, first of all, because while he looks like Manute Bol, although he's more physically, better physical presence for sure. So, I mean,
he's not nearly,
in terms of height.
Yeah, he's not nearly as like frail.
No, he's basketball. He's got basketball talent. Manute really didn't, you know, and I say this with respect, and I just came up with Bol when I referenced Manute. Manute Bol was just a freak.
Yeah.
Taco Fall's turned himself into somewhat of a decent basketball player. He's got good hand-eye coordination. He's got good hand-foot coordination. So that's the good. The reason my answer is out of bounds, you have to look at the way the question is written by Mike. Well, he will be a solid contributor throughout the season and into the playoffs. Mm. All right. If I'm playing him in the playoffs, I go small and I get him into pick and roll and I force him to guard somebody who is 6'9",
yeah,
who's going to put the ball on the floor, going to go right by him.
Yeah, he doesn't
do
that
well. That's a big problem.
Yeah, he doesn't do that well.
No. Now, if this is 1994, even 2002, and by the way, I'm not saying that I wouldn't experiment with him. I like that the Celtics are trying to see where he, you know, what he can become. I think it's unrealistic to think that he could do it yet. He's just not there.
Are you in or are you out?
And he's gotten a lot better in the last year. So maybe that's a visible sign.
But you see it even in the Summer League BT.
Yeah.
He lags. If a big man has the ball up at the top of the key, he lags way back.
And game's all about spacing.
You're right. And
you
if
know,
that's,
eventually you got to come and guard
that's,
somebody.
I'm trying to think who Robin Lopez.
Yep.
He's just going to.
Brooke Lopez.
About it, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, Brooke is going to hit threes.
He's going to keep shooting threes.
Yep.
And Taco can do nothing about
it. No, it's a problem. But, you know. Coach him up a little bit. Can he give you 10, 12, 15 minutes? Catch the ball, dunk a few, couple of fouls? Yeah, alter some shots, sure. I don't know if he can do it in the playoffs, though. The Astros, let's get to them. They've got the most wins in the AL at the break and hold a fairly commanding, although it's dwindled a bit, 7.5-game lead over the A's, who are always pesky in the West here. Earlier this week, all-star pitcher Gerrit Cole told the Chronicle, quote, "I like to see us add some good pieces, some impact pieces. I anticipate the front office making a strong move," end quote. In or out, the Astros do need to add a big-name star to the roster before the deadline.
You know, this is a hard one because anybody could do this, but I don't know if the Astros need to do this. I'm talking about from an arm standpoint because Verlander's Verlander. Gerrit Cole is who he is. Wade Miley's actually having a good season as well.
Yep.
You know, their closer is really good.
Asuna,
he's really good. Right, so I don't know if they necessarily need an arm, you know, maybe a middle guy, but not like it's not a big name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And then you go to the other side, you go to the position players. I mean, Bregman's got 23 home runs, Springer's got 18, Jose Altuve, who missed half the season, he's even starting to come back around. I'm going to say out of bounds here. I think their roster is well constructed right now, and if they stay healthy, they're going to continue to be players for the top seed in the American League.
My answer is out of bounds as well here, Teak. I think the most pressing needs, not specific to the Astros because they have these pieces, but do you need a frontline starter?
No.
The Yankees do.
Yes.
I'm saying certain teams do.
Yeah.
The Twins do.
Yes.
Although Berrios is, but maybe the Twins do as well. Do you have a closer? Asuna's terrific. You know, he's got three quarters. His whip is three quarters of one.
Yeah.
He's got 20 saves, 19, whatever. He's got a sub-2 ERA. He's very good. So they've got a closer. They've got two frontline pitchers. I like pitchers. I like that you bring in Wade Miley, who's a very competent third.
Yep.
And the only thing, but they address this in the offseason, they're a little bit too righty dominant in the batting order. And now by bringing in Brantley, and I knew this was going to work out. I knew it. They brought him in. He resuscitated his career with the Indians last year, proved he's still a really good hitter. You drop him as a lefty in the middle of all these righties. They got power. They can run.
Yeah.
Their bullpen's good. Starter's good. Well-managed. I don't think that. Now, listen.
He's hitting 324. He's going to have 100 RBIs.
It's been terrific. They put him right in the middle. He was batting. I don't know if he bats fourth every night.
Yeah.
The first 30 or 40 games, he was batting fourth. So they don't need to. Now, baseball's still. There's an element of randomness. So they could still be the best team but not win the World Series. Mm-hmm. They don't have a gaping hole.
No.
Other teams that are chasing the World Series do. The Astros don't.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, the Astros are one of those teams where, of course, everybody looks for help at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Astros, it would be, is it worth sacrificing, even if it's just, you know, some guy in the minors that we don't even know that it's going to turn out to be. Was it worth sacrificing him if you don't really need the help? That's what it comes down for the Astros.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And by the way, if they were ever to get somebody like, if they went after Madison Bumgarner or somebody crazy like that, I mean, this kid Alvarez, Jordan Alvarez, who they called up, this lefty?
Yeah.
Dude, you got to see the home runs he hit. He's played 19 games. He's got 7 bombs. He's got 73 at-bats.
Yeah.
And he's their prized gem from the system.
Right.
They have it all.
They have it already.
They got it all. And by the way, they've got winning pedigree. Now, if this was the first time they were trying to win, maybe bringing a veteran who has won before, but they won.
Yeah.
Bregman's been there. You know, Altuve's been there. Springer's been there. Correa's been there. They've all been there. You know? All right, coming up, the worst indictment against Carmelo Anthony I've ever heard. This is crazy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.